Morning, everybody. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear the unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too heavy, to reach the unreachable star. Words from a musical, which I've actually never seen, but I've always considered to have a reasonable Christian concept, especially those words, how we would want our walk with God to be. It's not a Christian book. Cervantes was a Spanish writer. I imagine he was brought up in the Catholic faith. Whether he held on to it or not, I don't know. But I do think it was written by someone who was God aware. It tells of a man who tries to live within the world of chivalry, his own world of chivalry and hope, and everything that the romantic books of his day thought was good and right, a bit like our Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And there are, for me at least, resemblances to the Joseph story. A lone man, faithful to his God, whether made up as a story in Quixote's case or in reality, as with Joseph, but who is sneered at and bullied for these beliefs. I'm going back for a moment to early in the Joseph story. We've travelled a lot with Joseph this summer, with Joseph and his brothers and with his father Jacob. So just catch this picture with me. It's breakfast time in the tent. Leah is there with her sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar and Zebulun. Jacob's four sons by concubines have arrived. So has little Benjamin, who always makes Jacob think of Rachel, the true love of his life. The blessing is offered, bread is served, milk is passed, and then like a star whose time has come, in comes Joseph, taking his seat next to Jacob. And he says, "Hey guys, I had a dream last night. Sheaves of grain we were binding, and then suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up, and all of yours bowed down to mine." Well, I reckon Reuben must have choked on his porridge, and the others just couldn't believe their ears. And the same thing happens the next day, with a different, although similar, theme. And Joseph the innocent, more or less, not realizing how his words are received. Naive? Certainly. More than a family can tolerate? Well, pretty much. Impossible? Well, it would seem so, unless you know the rest of the story, wouldn't it? Dreams have been called windows to the soul, and if they happen to be from God, maybe they determine our destinies more than we could ever imagine. The Bible does have several stories about dreams, and so does life. Churchill had a dream that he could lead our country to victory. Henry Ford had a dream to put a horse's carriage into the hands of the common folk. Martin Luther King had a dream that one day God's children would live in a nation where they would not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. It hasn't quite happened yet, but it will. And people often sneer at those who have dreams. Actually, there's nothing more boring than someone who insists on telling you about, "I had a dream last night." And they sneered at Joseph. And I am aware that we believe that Joseph's dreams were sent dreams. But who is to say that our dreams, the dreams of people like Churchill, Ford and King, were not? And what about our dreams? Young people off to college, into sixth form, starting work, off on a gap year maybe, have dreams for the future. Many of them, most of them. You need to hold on to these, because nothing is impossible if it's God's plan and design for a person's life, part of which John said so beautifully last week. And then we move on to Joseph with his brothers rather than with his father. And now that Jacob had gone, the brothers showed that although Joseph had said he had forgiven them and everything they'd done to him, they didn't really believe him. And I think that was because they hadn't really forgiven themselves. Sometimes it's harder to forgive ourselves than it is to forgive others. We know the nasty bits that we have inside. And if you're naturally cynical, as I'm ashamed to admit I am, we look as to why we want to be forgiven. Well, it's easier if we are, isn't it? Forgiveness without punishment? Not always, but often. And if there is punishment, we can, if we're honest with ourselves, know it's because we bring it on ourselves. Because at some time or other, we've taken our hands out of the hands of God and we've put our hands into the hands of the evil one. And it is very, very hard to let those hands go. A sign in a bank reads, "To err is human, to forgive is not our policy." And for so many, forgiveness is not their policy. People are often amazed at forgiveness. They can't understand how people can forgive. The Irish parents of that young girl who recently walked out into the forest in Malaysia and died. Did she go or was she taken? Whatever. Her parents talked about forgiveness. And people are amazed. There's a story about a little boy, which you may have heard, so forgive me if you have. And he disobeyed his mother, and his conscience bothered him. I wish my children's consciences had bothered them when they disobeyed me. And he was sneaking off to his room when his mother asked him where he was going. He said, "I'm going to my room because I want to talk to God." "Well, is it something you can't tell me?" his mother asked. "Yes, it is," the boy replied, "because you'll just grumble and punish me, while God will forgive me and forget about it." But it's not that simple. Forgiveness is so very difficult because it calls for a renewed personal relationship where things are as though nothing happened, which for us is almost an impossibility because we know it happened. How can we believe that for our own wrongdoing? On the surface of the second reading today, for Joseph to forgive his brothers from his position of power and wealth and prestige seems quite easy. But in fact, it couldn't have been. With the realization that he was a spoilt brat, which he must have realized as he grew into the person God wanted him to be, as he spent those many years in prison, as he thought about his childhood, remembering his own lack of consideration as well as the remembrance of the many unkindnesses he'd been a victim of. He must have realized the justification for this. But there was also hurt. And maybe some indignation towards Jacob, who actually in my book was very much to blame for the whole mess of Joseph's early life. But, I come back, it was God's plan. My mother didn't like my middle child, my second son. I never quite understood why. And because of Ken's work and the suddenness of war, there was a time when my parents had my children living with them for a year. I am not putting down my mother. She was a lovely mum. She was artistic. She was loving. She was warm. We were a very happy family, and she was a great mum to the four of us. But she didn't like Nicky and was in many ways very unkind to him when he lived with them. She favoured the others over him, easier children. They were much more like my husband. Nicky was much more like me. And I didn't know until Ken and I were reunited with the children quite how bad this had been. And on the day she died, we had all flown back from war-torn Beirut. And she apologised on that day to Nicky, which at the time he seemed to accept very graciously. But years later, he told me that remembering how she was towards him, he wasn't so sure he would be quite as forgiving now. Forgiveness needs acceptance as well as the asking. The good thing is that my mother died feeling forgiven. And I just hope that Nicky has now, with a loving, happy family of his own, been truly able to forgive and almost forget. Joseph had obviously, really and totally, forgiven his brothers. But they found this terribly difficult to accept. They didn't really believe him. They didn't see how he could forgive them for what they did. And they hadn't forgiven themselves. Listen again to the words of Joseph. "I will provide," he said, "for you and your little ones." Reassurance and comfort is what he offered. Lovely words, "I will provide for you and your little ones." The fact that our Heavenly Father commands us to forgive through his Son makes forgiveness an act of obedience to God. Jesus showed us how to forgive. Not just small hurts, but the sort of hurts that are given to us by people who hate us. "Father, forgive them," he prayed, as he died on the cross prepared by his enemies. Jesus gives the moral of the story. "Also, so also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart," which he said after telling the parable of the man who owed the king an awful lot of money, which he was forgiven and then went out and threw somebody into prison for owing him a much smaller amount. Jesus also emphasized the need of our forgiving each other when he said that if we have any ill feeling about a person and come to the altar with a gift to God or to accept a gift from God, we should leave our gift at the table, get reconciled with our brother, and then come and offer our gift, which then would be acceptable. I remember being told that when I was being prepared for confirmation, and there were words that have always stuck with me every time I come and kneel or stand at the communion table. They sit heavy with me, because I do know there are times when I do come not at peace with everybody. And of course, that's one of the reasons we share the peace with one another. It's not just a, "Hey, hi, I like you." It really is, anything you might have done to me is totally forgiven. Why do we have to forgive before God will forgive us? Not a condition that God lays down. It's not a kind of payment that God requires. But the reason we need to forgive first is because if we have an unforgiving heart, God just cannot forgive us. If we have our hands clenched into fists, how can we reach out and accept a gift? There's a story that one time Leonardo da Vinci had an argument with someone. He lashed out against this person with bitter words and threatening gestures. And when the argument was over, Leonardo went back to his canvas, where he was actually working on the face of Jesus. He couldn't make one stroke. Eventually, he realized and put down his brush, made peace with the man, and returned and resumed his painting. Now, I'm sure that isn't true, but it's a nice story, and it made me think. Joseph's brothers asked for forgiveness. They were sorry. And in his forgiveness, Joseph gives us an example to follow. The text says that when the brothers made their appeal for forgiveness, Joseph wept when they spoke to him. He was moved with pity and compassion. And maybe we too can only forgive when we have tears of compassion in our eyes, when we understand. And to show compassion and mercy to those who've hurt us, or even worse in my thinking, hurt those that we love, is to be a follower of Christ. Blessed, Jesus said, are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And as far as we know, Joseph was willing to forgive, although I do wonder, with all the coming and going he made his brothers do from Canaan and back and then to Canaan again and then bringing back Jacob, was it because he was wrestling with the need to forgive his brothers? But we do know he forgave because he was able to see the good that God had brought out of their evil. Through whatever we get inflicted on us, God can, if we let him, bring good to both us and to others. And I do believe that. And he ensured there was honesty between himself and his brothers. Part of forgiveness is honesty. If there's going to be a proper settlement of accounts between people, there must be total honesty. Yes, you sinned against me. Yes, it was a nasty and dirty trick. The rumour you spread about me was a vicious lie, which ruined my reputation. Face up to it, it was a terrible, horrible thing you did to me. So can I forgive you after all this? Following the example of Joseph and Jesus, I can and will, because God asks it so that he can use it for good. The brother's sin saved a whole nation from dying in a 7-year drought. And if, as John again said last week, Joseph had not gone to Egypt, God's covenant people would have perished with hunger. We need to accept the handicap, the suffering, the hardship, and the pain of someone else's sin in order for God to work a miracle of good for us. And it is only through God's grace that we can forgive. Not, of course, that we will ever, probably, be in a position to save a whole nation from starvation. Let's pray. Father God, you know how difficult sometimes it is for us to forgive. We just pray for forgiveness. Throughout the whole world, forgiveness. So much evil is brought about through the lack of forgiveness. So we just pray that people will learn from you, from Joseph, to forgive one another. Amen.